Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So some craziness going on up in New Hampshire as the Republican governor, Chris Sununu, up there has basically chastised this group. What's their name? Moms for Liberty. Yeah, evidently, Moms for Liberty, they have put a bounty on teachers who teach that theory about critical something or other, a race, something, you know, that what is it, race critic? I don't know. Put $500 bounty on those teachers who dare to talk about anything that they don't believe in. Because, look, the state of New Hampshire passed a law not long ago prohibiting teaching children that they are inferior, racist, sexist, or oppressive by virtue of their race, gender, or other characteristics. I don't know what all of that quite means, but somehow we shall have bounties. Crazy. But hey, good on Sununu. I got to be honest, one of the few Republicans to come out and denounce this nonsense. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on what's going on in the classroom, because there is a war on public school teachers, and there has been for a very long time. They've been slinging arrows at our educators for far too long. That's why I've asked Scott DeMauro to come talk with us. Scott's the president of the Ohio Education Association, OEA. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Good to be with you, Rick.
So what do you think of this? Bounties on the head of those evil teachers who teach kids about history. How dare they?
I mean, it just shows how far this coordinated disinformation campaign has gone. You tell lie after lie after lie, and people start believing it, and they're tripping over each other to try to, you know, outdo each other. It does show fundamentally that people on the extreme right don't want to talk about the realities of race, don't want to respect the important work that educators are doing in our classrooms to keep learning going through very, very difficult times. The good news for me is that, you know, as we look at where the majority of folks are, particularly in our state, I think they're on the extreme. They're outside the mainstream. Most people believe in their teachers, believe in their public schools, know that our public schools are doing a good job. And in fact, based on some polling that we just did in Ohio, they believe our schools are underfunded and they want to do more to support our schools. So it's unfortunate, though. It's part of the larger culture. And for some reason, the right wing has decided that education is going to be where they're going to make their mark. And I think they're going to fail miserably.
Well, it's a good place to scare people. I mean, you look at what happened in Virginia. And what they did is they took the poorly educated, which, according to Donald Trump, who he loves quite well, and they scared them that there's this theory out there. We don't really know what it is. Can't explain it, but there's a theory, and it's about race. And we're told it's somewhere being taught, probably not in my school, but we've got to be afraid of it. And it did. It motivated people because fear works.
It does. And sadly, we have legislation that's pending in the Ohio legislature that would also criminalize the promotion of divisive concepts related to race. It would impose penalties on school districts by cutting funding if teachers are saying things that offend people in such a way that they think violates the law. The law, which, by the way, is so ambiguously written, it is a litigator's dream. This is how you're going to really just advance the legal profession and allow them to make a lot of money. It would penalize teachers with threatening the loss of their license. It would, you know, threaten kids by saying that if you're in a course where these issues come up, you're not going to get academic credit for it. And the reality is that our members are just working as hard as they possibly can to teach the curriculum that they've been trained to teach. I'm a 30-year social studies teacher myself. I went into this profession because I believe that we have an obligation to create good citizens in our democracy, to teach people to be good critical thinkers and problem solvers. Throughout my teaching career, I have never had parents complain about what I do in the classroom. I teach, you know, a balanced approach. I teach kids to see both sides. I teach kids to understand the truth. And unfortunately, when you talk about the truth related to race in this country, the truth related to oppression, the truth related to really the raw deal that a lot of people in this country get, it makes some people uncomfortable. And so the right wing is exploiting that, pushing fear. And it's all about advancing political power.
No, I know I've been asked about this because we've got kids in public schools and, oh, don't you care? No, I want my kids to learn history. I want them to learn what actually happened. Do I know lots of bad things happen? Absolutely. Do I say, yeah, bad things happen? I didn't do it, so I don't know how it's an inflection on me, but I don't want it to happen in the future. So, you know, we learn from the past and we make sure we don't do it again. That doesn't seem that hard to me.
Totally. I mean, that, you know, we're... Sometimes, you know, there are people that want to paint with broad brushes. You know, they claim that they have a monopoly on patriotism, a monopoly on you know, love for country. You know, I love my country. My colleagues love our country. And if you love your country, then you want to make sure that you understand what's wrong and you fight like hell to make it better. That's how we've made progress throughout our history.
Right.
That's how we ended slavery. That's how we... advanced the civil rights movement. That's how the labor movement was born, was by recognizing injustices in the system and working hard to overcome them. So, you know, it's out of our love for our nation that we do this work, and shame on anybody who suggests otherwise.
So let me ask you the other question here. You said you've been doing this over 30 years. If you're a young teacher, you're that young teacher that 30 years ago got into this. Do you do this now?
That's a really good question. And that's what worries me most about the direction that things are going. We already are facing a shortage of education professionals. And you know, we talk about the substitute teacher shortage that we see everywhere, shortage in other critical personnel. But fundamentally, we don't have enough people anymore choosing education as a profession. It's the most noble profession in our society. Yet, because of a variety of factors, because teachers have traditionally been underpaid, and through our work in the labor movement, we've worked very hard to close some gaps, but historically, that's been the reality. Because we have really misguided policies at the national and state level across the country that put so much focus on standardized test scores and labeling and shaming and blaming teachers and schools and districts rather than instilling a love of learning in our kids. You know, we put so much focus on testing that we suck the joy out of teaching and learning in our classrooms. And then you layer on top of that this really chilling environment that's being created over these debates over race and equity and diversity. It is gonna be harder to attract people into the profession at a time where more than ever before, given the challenges that we face as a society, we need the best going into education.
So am I taking that as a yes, you would do it, or a no, you would not?
That was my dodge. I hope I would. I mean, I haven't lost my, even after 30 years, even in the middle of all this stuff, I still believe that it is the best job in the world. I still believe that it's the most noble profession. I would do it. But I understand why some people are choosing not to. And one of the things that we're really working hard to do is to advocate for the kinds of support systems, advocate for fair compensation, advocate for mentoring and training, and really making sure that people see the good in this work. And you know, it breaks my heart when I hear about people that want to leave, but then I am lifted up every day by people that are choosing to go into education as a profession and because they really want to make a difference in the lives of kids.
Now, I give my kids' teachers all the credit in the world, and we always have. They've always been fantastic. They've always been willing to help, always been just the best quality people that you would come across. And look, I'm envious of their ability to keep 20, 30, 40, 50 kids on task in a giant room when I can't do it with simply three.
I was so, you know, my career teaching has been in high school social studies, and when my daughter was in kindergarten. I had the good fortune at that time, I was a full-time released local union president in my community. And so I was able to spend time in schools doing different things. And every week I volunteered in my daughter's kindergarten classroom. And I had a table of six, you know, five-year-olds that I was responsible for an hour. And I told the teacher, I said, how do you do this with 24 kids all day long? It just blows my mind. Yeah, teachers do amazingly heroic work. And it's never been more true than over the last year and a half through this pandemic.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, teaching through a mask, teaching through a computer screen, adapting to all kinds of changes, it's been pretty neat.
No, I'm right there with you. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Scott DeMauro. He's the president of the Ohio Education Association, OEA.org, their website. We'll get links out on social media how you can check that out. But here's the thing, Scott. You know, right here in our area, the Scranton Federation of Teachers, they're on strike. They haven't seen a raise in more than I think it's 5, possibly 6 years. We've seen constant attacks on education across not just Pennsylvania, not just Ohio, but across the country, and deep and painful cuts in education, where we get the rhetoric from politicians, our children are our most important resource, we're investing in the future, yet they keep cutting the funding, handing it off to corporate interests, and then expecting miracles from teachers. I got to tell you, I'm not surprised there hasn't been a mass exodus, because as one person sent me, I make more money now as a bartender than I made as a teacher. And when I'm done bartending, my day is over. When I was a teacher, I went home and grading papers and dealing with all kinds of problems and dealing with all kinds of, kids and their stories and their family conditions. It's an awful lot for someone to make, just above poverty wages, I think.
Yeah, and too many of our teachers are working in communities where the schools are underfunded. Ohio is similar to Pennsylvania in that, we have a very inequitable system of funding schools. We've been advocating really hard to try to make sure that the resources are there across the board and that there's more equity in terms of how those resources are distributed. But when you depend primarily on local property taxes, which depends on local property values, then you're gonna have these inequities. And that's just unjust. Layer on top of that, this expansion of charter schools. In many states, you have taxpayer dollars that are being diverted to subsidize people that choose to send their kids to private schools in the form of vouchers. And you really put a squeeze on the system. When we stand together, though, and one of the things that I really encourage my members to do, and we see success stories about it all the time, is that if we engage politically and we engage by advocating for passage of school levies and electing, pro-public education school board members and electing pro-public education candidates to state office and people to support us at the national level, it makes a lot of difference. And right now, there's a lot of money flowing into our schools thanks to the American Rescue Plan Act and the leadership of President Biden and this Congress to really shore up some of those shortfalls that we have been facing for a long time to help us get through the pandemic, but also to really meet the needs of our students. And in doing that, it allows us to cut class sizes, and then hopefully better compensate teachers as well.
Yeah, because we know what works to help students learn. We don't need magic tricks. We don't need silver bullets. Vouchers, sorry, not working. They're just making rich people richer. Charter schools have been shown to be, for some, a little bit better, but for the mass, no better, and in a lot of cases, even worse. And these god-awful cyber charters that we've got here in Pennsylvania are just by far the worst ripoff. And look, we learned, I think all of us saw through the pandemic what a cyber charter school really looks like. And I hope we now roundly reject this nonsense going forward.
It was interesting. Parents understandably were clamoring for the reopening of schools, when things had to shut down during the pandemic. And we're right there with them. I mean, there's nothing we want more than for schools to be open for in-person instruction, because we know how difficult it is to connect with kids and to support them, not just academically, but in terms of their social and emotional needs, if we're not there in person. But we worked through it. We did the best we could. But I think everybody recognizes that except for pretty rare set of circumstances, online schooling just isn't the way to go. There is no substitute for a caring, compassionate, committed teacher who can connect with their kids in the classroom. And so, but through all that, public schools that were providing online instruction blew the competition away. And you see really kind of this emperor has no clothes effect when you look at just how bad the performance of these online charters are. In Ohio, the largest one we have, they had a chronic absenteeism rate last year of close to 50%. It's ridiculous.
No, it's crazy. But it shows what committed, well-trained, passionate educators can do. Whereas you look at some of the other ones, this is a stop along to somewhere else. I mean, I know people have gone through the Teach for America thing, and we're gonna do this as kind of a hobby and then move on. I'm going, no, that's not what we want as an education system. So the last question I've got for you, because I've yet to find many people who look at their kids' teachers, they're terrible. Most of the people love their kids' teachers. When you hear people complain, it's about those teachers. We don't actually know them, but they're there somewhere and they're teaching bad stuff. So how do we undo that and focus on, we do love our public school teachers. We do love our public schools.
Well, I think we have an obligation as a union. We have an obligation as a profession to not be bashful, to tell our stories, to celebrate our successes, to advocate as much as we can for the resources that we need and for fair accountability systems. But far too often, the people that go into education, are modest folks. They're not interested in putting a spotlight on themselves. They go into this profession because they want to lift other people up.
Yep.
We have to do a better job of telling our story and really celebrating our success.
Yep. Good stuff. Or we just make them write 100 times, "I shall not hate on teachers."
That works too. I like that. I like that.
And then we have to do it in old school chalk on a chalkboard. That's the way forward. But Scott, I appreciate the time. Really good talk with you. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again.
Thanks, Rick.
Good stuff. Scott DeMauro, president of the Ohio Education Association, OEA. Their website, OHEA.org. We'll get links out on social media on how you can check that out. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.